Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Now, when I see what I see, then I can see. This is part two of Now I See from last Sunday. If I can draw your attention to verse 3, where Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in his life. But this happened. I don't want to go in. I just want to stop there for just a second and say, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in his life. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed. When my daughter Kayla was really young, and she's in her 20s now, but when she was really young, when she was a little baby, and I don't know if any of you have toddlers or have little babies, if you've ever done that, done this, what I'm about to say, when she was about 2 or 3, you know, when they're learning how to walk and they're learning how to move and they're going from place to place, there will be times quite often where, you know, Kayla would trip and fall. And Kayla was somebody who, she talked before she walked. So she was verbal before she was really all that ambulatory. She was talking really well, talking in sentences before she had the ability to move. My God, I already hear the Holy Ghost that some of us, we got to learn to get our mouths together before our actions will follow. She talked first and was able to move second. But because of the lateness, she wasn't super late walking, but because of that, she just wasn't the most agile. She didn't have the best balance in the world. And she fell a lot. She just did. And I can remember this one particular time where, you know, we're living in Oklahoma and I'm going to Rhema. And, you know, we had some little stairs in our little lofty apartment. And I heard her say, oh, no. And then, blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. Blah, 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 blah. It's like she could tell she was about to fall before she fell and said something about the fall before the fall took place and talked the whole way down. And now the fall is done, and she's at the bottom of the stairs, and she's crying. And, of course, she's 2, and we run over to her. Here's my point. I don't know if you ever did this, but we did it quite a bit, and that is where we got a belt or something, and we spanked the stairs, like bad, bad stairs. Don't hurt Kayla, or bad, bad dresser. Don't hurt the baby. Or so I don't know if you've ever done this. You find yourself spanking or fussing at an inanimate object for hurting your child because there's something that makes you feel good, especially when you're immature, to ascribe blame outside of yourself. Woo, my Lord. There's something about in your immaturity for someone to come, for someone older than you, someone above you, someone on another level of you to come and say, this fall is not your fault. This pain you're dealing with is not your fault. This pain is this bad table. This pain is these bad stairs. Bad, bad stairs for tripping Kayla. Bad, bad table for hurting her when she bumped into it. Bad, bad. I read a story of where a man heard one of his children crying, and he went in the room, and the little, it was a little girl, a little boy's crying, and there's a plastic bat on the floor, and the dad said, hey, what happened? And the little girl said, he hit his head on that bat. And the dad said, where was the bat? And she said, in my hands. It's like, we want to blame the bat and not blame who swung the bat. My God, we want to blame the stairs. Why is that? It's because in our immaturity, there's something about ascribing blame outside of ourselves. We have to be careful that We don't have a theology that's only about ascribing blame. There's something about blaming everything on something that makes us feel good. There's something about it where, in that theology, if you're born blind, then somebody did something. Somebody made a mistake somewhere. That's why the disciples asked the question, hey, whose fault was this? Who did this? Who made this mistake? Was it this man? Was it his parents? That he was actually born blind. It's interesting that it's the disciples who are asking this. All of this healing takes place in a safe space amongst the people of God, amongst folk who know God, amongst folk who have a religious background. And I know I make us do it a lot, but I'm making us do it again. I want us to analyze just a little bit the religiosity that we came out of, because I would contend that there is a significant amount of our theology that is based on ascribing blame. When something happens, we want to say, oh, well, this was the reason, or this is the fault. It's this thing's fault. It's the devil's fault, or it's the culture's fault, or it's the society's fault. And that I understand it. In our immaturity, it feels good to ascribe the blame someplace else. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation in which you've ascribed the blame to something else or someone else, and you actually got all the blame off you. You just thought, oh my goodness, once I get this blame off me, I'm gonna feel just oh so wonderful. I'm gonna get all this blame off of me and go and get this blame on someone else. If you've ever done that and someone ever really just takes all the blame, if you're mature and honest and got any kind of Holy Ghost, you'll feel bad about it. The Holy Ghost will speak to you and say, now, wait. Hold on, buddy. Everything is not the fault of that person. Everything is not the fault of that situation. Would to God it was that easy. Would to God it was that simple. Would to God that's just how it is. There's something about ascribing blame. And I'm going to move on. But we have to be careful about it, because we can all blame victimy at some level. All of us. Every one of us can blame our situations on someone else or on something else if we try hard enough. Black people can blame white people. White women can blame men. Men can blame women. People can blame the government. Kids can blame their parents. Parents can blame the kids. Preachers can blame the world. I grew up where preachers blame the world. Preachers blame the generation. Blame the system. They blame the world for the fact that they only had 15 people in church. They blame that. They didn't want to accept that. Maybe, just maybe, they don't know what they're doing. Maybe, just maybe, the God we serve is able to reach there. If he was lifted up, I think Pastor Tony said it this morning, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into myself. So we don't see all men, then maybe he's not being lifted up. Maybe we're being lifted up. Maybe flesh is being lifted up. Maybe our religious practice is being lifted up. Let me move on. That preachers, we love to do that. We love to blame the world for the situation without accepting the fact that maybe there's a part of it that has to do with me. I remember when that Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich first came out. I know if you came to World Overcomers, if you watched me at all, if you're aware of my ministry, when that Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich first came out, and they say it all sold all them chicken sandwiches, and they made all that money, I must have used that Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich in my offertory. I must have used it every week for about a month straight. I was just like, how dare dare y'all spend all that money on that chicken sandwich and don't give nothing to the church. The devil is a liar, you heathens. That's what's wrong with y'all. How dare you put more in your gut than you put in the plate. I bind you. I rebuke you. I was so mad. I was upset at Popeyes for taking money from my building project. I was blaming them and upset with them until I tasted that sick chicken sandwich for myself. Woo, my Lord, my God. Finally, the Holy Ghost spoke up and said, you sure are blaming that Popeye spicy chicken sandwich a whole lot when God can do anything but fail. You sure are blaming it a lot. Why don't you go down there and taste it? See, I was driving by Popeye's hating. Every time I drove by, I would make a sign of the cross. I bind you. I rebuke you. I was telling Popeye's chicken sandwich places to burn down in the name of Jesus. But then the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I went in the drive-thru. Woo, my God. I went in the drive-thru, and I said, I want the spicy. I just said, I might as well. And I'll try this spicy chicken sandwich in the drive-thru. They gave me the sandwich. I took a bite of it and drove around the building and got back in line and bought two more. Woo, hallelujah. That thing blessed me so. When I got to the window, the woman looked at me like, weren't you just here? I said, don't judge me. I'll take my two Popeye spicy chicken sandwiches. I ate that one and I had one. I brought one home. Woo, Lord. I didn't just get one more. I bought two more. What am I saying? I'm saying, be careful blaming stuff too much. Because that victimy can get you stuck. Nothing worse than being stuck in victim. Nothing worse than being stuck as a victim forever. Even those of us, especially those of us who have children that go through something traumatic, we have to realize, I understand we gotta help them and we gotta make sure that they're good, but sometimes we ascribe way too much to a child that's two, way too much to a child that's three. Because if you're honest, there's a lot of stuff that happened. There might have been stuff that happened to you at three you don't remember. There's something about your brain. It will reset itself if it's allowed to. But if we as parents are constantly reminding the child of the thing that happened to them when they were three, well, you know, ever since that dog chased her, she's just been scared to go to sleep. Well, I got you, maybe she was scared to go to sleep because the dog chased her, or maybe she just is three and don't want to sleep. Maybe she just needs more firmness. Maybe you just need to discipline her more, and you would rather blame this dog instead of dealing with the fact that you don't know how to make your child go to bed. Now the child grows up forever a victim of dogs. I've heard folks tell it. Well, I'm just scared of dogs. And I'm like, well, why are you scared of dogs? Well, when I was two, a dog licked my leg and it scared me half to death. There's a part of me that's like, now how do you remember when you were two that a dog licked your leg? Somebody told you that. Who told you were naked? Who told you were scared of dogs? Who told you that pit bulls' tongues are bumpy? Who told you that? That happened when you were two. You don't remember, but someone that was determined to keep you a victim. The devil is a liar. You got to be careful about that, because when you do that, it keeps you stuck. I declare that this morning. Whatever the devil did to you, break out of it. What the devil meant for evil, let God turn that thing around for good. Let all things work together for the good of us who love God and are called according to his purpose. I refuse to be a victim of the abandonment. I refuse to be a victim of the molestation. I refuse to stay a victim forever of the way that they did to me. I refuse to stay a victim forever of how they abandoned me. The devil is a liar. That blame game keeps you stuck. The other thing is the blame game robs you of what God can do if you just get the victim thing off you. What God can do if you get the folk you're blaming out the way. Jesus said, listen, let's get the parents out the way. Let's get the people. Let's get you out the way. Let's get your mom and them out the way. It's so easy to just blame the generational curse. And I know all of us, many of us were raised with that idea. Well, there's a generational curse that's coming down on me. And my great-great-grandmama lost her teeth, and my grandmama lost her teeth, and my mama only got 6 teeth left, and so now I'm scared the devil gonna take my teeth. Well, baby, maybe you need to go to the dentist. Did your great grandmama go to the dentist? My God, what I'm saying is, it's so easy to just blame it on something demonic, and I'm not saying that the devil ain't real, but be careful that you're not so giving so much credit to the devil that you lose sight of the fact that the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. And if it's dead, yet shall it live. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened for divine intervention. I speak that over this room, even though ain't nobody in it. I speak it over everybody that would be in the room. I speak it over every room around the world. I want divine intervention. I want God to say, this happened so that I can work a work. This happened so that I can work a miracle. This happened so that you can see how bad I am. This happened so you can see what it's like when God shows up. This happened so that your faith will be increased. Who am I talking to this morning? Where you thought that you were at the end till the Lord showed up and you left with a faith in God that you would not have had if you hadn't been through what you've been through. Marvin Sapp got that song that was a hit song. Never would have made it. I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. So much better. When I look back at what the Lord brought me through, I learned something about God. I stopped blaming all of my problems on the fact that I was black, or the fact that I was white, or the fact that I was a woman, or the fact that I was a man, or the fact that I was confused, or the fact that they did this to me. It's all right. Even if you meant it for evil, God can turn it around for my good. Can we give God the glory, my God, for the great things he has done? Can we give God the glory for his power? Can we give God the glory? I'm just contending. I'm going to move on. I think I made the point. The Holy Ghost wanted me to make it again. I'm going to move on. But I'm contending that we've been saddled with a theology that likes to explain the unexplainable with blame. Instead of us just saying, well, we don't know why he was born blind. We want to say, no, somebody messed up. Instead of just saying, well, we don't know why this person died. We don't know why we're in this situation. No, we go in the church world, we go to try to start explaining the unexplainable. There are some of you that are watching right now. Something has happened that you cannot explain. Something, I feel it by the Holy Ghost, Pastor Tony. I feel it right now. You can't explain it. It don't make no sense to you. This makes no sense. Your son is 14. He is 15. They are 25. They are 52. They are 61. They are this, they are that. This is just the world we live in right now. Bob Saget done gone on to his reward, and everybody want to know what killed him. What was it? Now we got to do an investigation so that we can figure out who to blame. Why do we do that? Because we want to assuage our own fear about how we can stay alive. I just don't know if it's God to now go back through the tape and review to figure out who can we blame for this thing that happened. Sometimes you don't know why. But when you don't know why, you better know who. When you don't know why, you better know God. Because even if I told you why, there's certain whys that won't fix the pain you deal with. There's something I've noticed. I don't know if any of you have ever noticed this, but it certainly has happened in my family. In my family, there's 8 children. In my family, it's kind of crazy in that the kids in the family who did the best and were good and were right and were saved and tried to do the right thing, their kids end up being kind of heathens. And the ones who was heathens, their kids end up on the honor roll. Oh, I wish I had. I know I'm not the only one with a child that you're looking at like, now where did this come from? Is this really my child? There's stuff you can't explain. What do you do when you can't explain it? Well, maybe this happened. I'm going to move on. I feel the Holy Ghost. Maybe this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life, in your life. Verse says, Bible verses say, as Jesus is going on his way, he sees this man blind from birth. God sees us all blind from birth, because as far as God is concerned, we all blind from birth. We all enter into this world ignorant and can't see and don't know. What God sees is everybody needs him. Everybody need the blood. Everybody need forgiveness. Everybody need Jesus. Everybody need the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs forgiveness. Everybody needs grace. Parents, disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that this man was born blind? I said it last Sunday, a stuck people see sin. They're asking this because they're stuck. And when you're stuck, especially when you're stuck in a theological perspective that has been taught to you, when you have been indoctrinated with a theological perspective that may not be Christ, may not be grace. Paul says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, but you live in constant condemnation because that's how you were raised. Because the people are stuck. A stuck people ascribe blame. I think I made that point. Neither this man nor his parents, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. I'm speaking that over your life. This has happened so that the work of God may be displayed in your life. Let's let that be our confession. This happened because God's got a plan. This happened because God's about to do something. This job is gone because God's got something better. They stole my car because God's got something better. This thing I can't explain has happened so that God can show me that he's God. Verse 4, we get to verse 4. Jesus says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as it is day. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. The light has come. This is the message that we heard from him and declared to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's not that there's no light. Jesus says, oh, no, no. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Oh, no, no, no. There's light available. Oh, no, 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 no. There is a way that you can see. Oh, no, 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 no. There is an answer. Light has come. But the reason why we're still in darkness is because there's a joy in the ambiguity. There's a bliss in the ignorance. There's a joy in being able to say, I didn't know, I didn't hear, I wasn't there. What was that? Yeah, I didn't know that. There's a joy in that. There's something about being able to claim ignorance when actually light has come. Jesus says, yeah, while it's day, we must do the works of him who sent me. meaning that while it's day, we got to do day work while it's day. When I see what I can see, then I can see. While it's day, Jesus said, wait. Now, if Christ is in your life, if the anointed one is in your life, if the power, the Alpha and the Omega is in your life, then that means the light should be on. And while it's day, we must do the works of him who sent us, because night is coming when you can't do the work that is required in the light. This is hard for us to acknowledge because we live in a world of artificial light. You know, this room right here, my sanctuary that you're watching around the world, we made this room with all, there's no windows, there's windows in the lobbies, but there's no windows. We made this room so that we can control the light, because if you're going to be on TV and do production like this, you want to be able to control the light. So this room is full of artificial light. We're all used to artificial light, but in biblical times, there was no artificial light, maybe fire. You might have took a candle or a torch somewhere with you, but when the sun went down and it got dark, you couldn't see. So there was work to do in the light because night was coming when you couldn't get no work done. The Lord is warning that there will be a time when you can't see. It's interesting that we're so upset by the stuff that we can't explain when the Lord told us, no, there's going to come a time when you're not going to have the kind of clarity you have now. You keep walking with the Lord, there are going to be some things that you can't explain. So while it's day, let's do the work of him who sent me while it's day. Because night is coming when you can't do the work. In the light I can see, and there's work to do when you can see. It's tougher when the light is on. You ever see someone in low light and they look real good and real cute? Oh, Lord, help us. I'm going to start meddling now back to our clubbing days and our bar hopping. I'm not the only one was in there dancing with somebody that I'm just kind of like, ooh, this girl is fine as wine. And then because them lights was low, they know how to keep the lights in the club just low enough for you to think he's fine and just light enough for you to be able to see, but dark enough for you to not really know that he don't got no teeth. Nah, just enough for you to not see. I know I'm not the only one that was like, yeah, man, I had me a time last night and got that number and then called and then we hooked up in the daylight. And when they came up, I was like, who are you? Hi, yeah, I'm looking for Stephanie, hey, it's me. And I'm like, whoa, look what the dark has done. Look what the dim light has done. I know I'm not the only one that the dimness fooled you. I know I'm not the only one looking at myself in dim light and thinking, ooh, I'm looking good, boy. I'm telling you, this thing is, I'm popping. The light's not that bright. And then I got to a place where the light was bright and saw something in my tooth and saw something in my nose. There's a work to do when you can see that you can't do when you can't see. There's a work you can do in the light. And the Bible acknowledges that we kind of avoid the light because it's tough when the lights are bright. It's tough when you can see. I know I gave this analogy a few weeks ago, but it applies that, you know, that I don't know if you've ever done this, but I know that when you step out the shower, and you're in the bathroom by yourself and quickly wrap a towel around yourself, who are you hiding from? You? don't know if you've ever done that, where you just get out the shower and just let yourself be naked for a couple of minutes. Just brush your teeth naked, shave naked, do your hair naked. You'll get tired of it after a while. I know I'm not the only one. Let me tell you what I start doing. I start looking around to find which mirror do I look best in. Oh, I wish I had. There's a mirror in my house. It just makes me look thin, makes me look like I'm chiseled. And I have left one mirror and said, I rebuke you, mirror, in the name of Jesus. I know I'm not. I rebuke you, mirror, in the name. And I've gone to another room and said, hey, there it is. That's how I want to see me. I will admit that in that room it's darker. In that room the mirror is farther away. But I like that mirror because it shows me a me I want to see. When I see myself in the right light, I realize I got to stop eating them Reese's. I need a witness in the building. Anybody got a scale you ain't stepped on in a year? Okay, let me just move on. That scale is sitting right there. You ever go to the doctor and they want to weigh you? I went to the doctor for something with my arm. And they're like, well, they took me over to the scale. And I'm like, what? Why do you need my weight when my arm is sore? It's after Christmas. It's after Thanksgiving. I don't want to see that number. When was the last time you weighed you? Night is coming when you can't do the work. Night is coming. A time is coming when the work will be harder to do. Ooh, good God, help us, Holy Ghost. I was saying this to some of the young folk that are around me that are rolling on 30, in their 30s, or about to be 30, or in their early 30s. I've been saying to them, you better get in shape now. This is the time to get in shape. This is the time to drink your water. This is the time to stop eating bread. This is the time to stop drinking all that stuff. This is the time because your metabolism is going to slow down every 10 years. It's way harder to get in shape in your 50s than it is in your 30s. Night is coming when that belly gonna stay. Night is coming when that cheese on them thighs ain't going nowhere. I don't know why I'm preaching like this today. Night is coming where you won't be able to do that work. You go running, but then your knee will hurt. I need a witness in the building. You are all ready to get back in shape. And you go in there on Monday and Tuesday, your pinky toe is hurting and you can't walk. What I'm saying is, a time is coming when you won't be able to save. A time is coming when you won't be able to have enough money to retire. Stop acting like it caught you by surprise. The Lord told you, no. There's a time coming when you won't be able to work. Vision correction is time sensitive. Woo! God, vision correction is time sensitive. Jesus says, we must do the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when this work will be hard. But while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Let's fix this man's vision while we can. Let's fix your vision while we can. Let's fix your perspective before it's too late. My God, I am preaching to myself this morning. I'm saying, oh me, oh me, oh me. Because would to God that I saw what I see. Oh my Lord, I wish that I could have saw what I see instead of seeing it now. If I could have seen it, that's a black word. If I could have seen it, let's put that T on there. If I had seen it, then I'd be in a whole nother place now. Now, it's almost too late to correct it with my vision. I'm glad I see now, but it's almost, Jesus is saying, look, we got to fix your vision while we can. Night is coming when it's going to be tough to fix it. Even if we fix it, the damage will be done. Then verse 6, after saying this, Jesus spit in the ground, made mud out of the saliva, put it on the man's eyes, told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and he washed and he came home seeing. My God, there's so much in there. I almost don't even have time to share it, but it's just so good anyhow. I know many of us have already heard a word, my Lord, my God. But I've been preaching this passage since I was 15 years old because maybe you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. I always thought it was kind of a nasty way to heal somebody. I felt like Jesus could have healed a man any kind of way. He could have blew in his face and healed him. He could have smacked him in the back of the head and healed him. He could have stepped on his toe and healed him. He could have spun him around 3 times and healed him. But for Jesus to and spit in dirt and make mud out of spit and put it on his eyes. When I first read this, I was a young preacher and I said, well, I'm sorry, that's nasty, Jesus. That is gross. I know some of y'all are like, but that's Jesus spit. That still, it is spit is spit. It reminds me of when I was a kid, my mom used to clean my face. I don't know if you had before baby wipes. My mama would lick her thumb and get stuff around your eye and all around, and you walking to the bus stop smelling like potato chips that she just finished eating. What I'm saying is I know, I said, Jesus, that ain't right. Nobody would come to World Overcomers if I had a spit in your face ministry. Nobody would give. You talking about spare change for spare change? Nobody would give to the project if I said, I'll spit on you and you can give to Victory Park. It wouldn't happen. Don't nobody want no Pastor Andy spit. You might think I'm nice, but you don't want my spit. You might think I look good, but you don't want my spit. You might think I'm anointed, but do you think I'm so anointed you want my spit? No, you don't. I said, Lord, why did you do that? The Lord said to me, well, for some people to see, it take mud made out of spit. Some folk don't see till something bad happens. Some folk don't see till the planes fly into the tower. Some people don't see until something bad takes place. Some people don't see till somebody dies. Some people don't see till COVID. Some people don't see until they get hurt. Sometimes the mud and the spit is what it takes to see. That was my revelation when I was 15. You know what the Lord is saying to me now? The Lord is saying, well, son, if you really think about it, a note of word, you know, that the earth was created by something out of God's mouth and dirt. Woo! The Lord said to heal sight, I had to go back to what I did in the beginning. And something from my mouth hit the dirt. And when something from my mouth hits the dirt, there's a sight that comes. There's a healing that comes. And I'm going to speak that over everybody right now. Because if you can ever get your mouth together, if you could ever get your spit in the dirt, if you could ever decide to spit in the dirt. House I live in now is so nice. If you saw it, you wouldn't like me if you don't like me. But what you don't know is I got that house in foreclosure. I didn't pay a tenth of what that house is worth. And when it was in foreclosure and I saw it, I walked around spitting everywhere. I didn't get the house at the first auction. I only had a letter for a certain amount, and somebody else got the bid. So the house wasn't mine. It went to someone else. But you know what? I didn't give up. I said, the devil is a liar. This is my house. And I went to that house every chance I got. And I just walked around spitting. And I just walked around leaving fluid. I'll leave it at that. I claimed that house. And the next thing you know, their deal fell through. And now they came back to me. If you could ever decide to spit in the dirt of your situation, there's a miracle that can take place if you can ever get your mouth lined up with God. If you could ever get your mouth to agree with God, if you could ever decide that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and it'll quicken your mortal body. And if it can quicken your mortal body, it can quicken your mortal money. If it can quicken your mortal money, it can quicken your mortal business. If it can quicken your mortal business, it can quicken your mortal life. I'll spit all over something in the name of Jesus. I'll speak life and not death, blessings and not cursings. I feel the Holy Ghost. I will bind on earth and it'll be bound in heaven. I'll loose on earth and it'll be loosed in heaven. Oh, yes, I will. I ain't got nothing else to do. I might as well spit. Should have named this sermon, Spit in That Dirt. I will spit right in that dirt. I will spit right into that situation. I'll spit life, not death. I speak that over everybody's house. I'll spit life, not death. I'll spit blessings, not cursings. I'll spit God is able. I'll spit God's about to do something. I spit it now. I spit it now. I spit now that the devil can't have your son. I spit now that the devil can't have your son. I spit now that he can't have mine. Can't have my teenager. Can't have my young son. Can't have my young adult. The devil can't have my money. I might as well spit. The devil can't have my marriage. I might as well spit. The devil can't have my business. I might as well spit. I don't care what it look like. I'll spit life. Oh, this is good. You know what else I love about the pastor's son? I love how Jesus says, after Jesus spits in his face, spits in the dirt, makes mud out of the spit, puts it on his eyes, he then says to him, go. I don't know if we understand that the man born blind had to still be blind on his way to his healing. He had to walk a little bit blind. I'm just going to sit down right there and just let that minister. I know I'm not the only one walking blind. I know I'm not the only one walking. When you walk blind, son, you are really careful. You are like, okay, let me put my foot here. The man with his blind stick still had that stick for a little while. He didn't throw it down right away. He had to go to a pool. He had to have faith in the darkness before the light ever came. He walked in the darkness before he got to the light. We want light right away. We want light right now. And we don't want to take another step till light come. But sometimes for you to get light, you got to walk a little bit in the dark. Who am I preaching to this morning? You got to walk a little bit and still figure out where you're going. Where are you going? I'm trying to get to Siloam. I almost want to imagine that he had to ask somebody, how do I get there? And they say, keep on walking. And the faith it took to walk to a pool and wash your face without your miracle. That he had to walk to water to get to his miracle. He had to walk still blind and wash his face in a pool that means called. He had to wash his face in a pool that means sent. He had to wash his face in a pool that means purpose. He had to wash his face in a pool that means God's got a work for you to do. Because God ain't healing your eyes just for you to see. God is healing your eyes because he got a mission for you. God is healing your eyes because he got somewhere for you to go. The enemy has tried to take the life of one of our faithful members, her son. His name is Micah. Hey, the devil's trying to take his life. They put him out. You know, you can't hardly visit nobody in the hospital. They put me on a FaceTime. I looked at him. I said, now you know you called. You know you called when something crazy tries to kill you and you made it. Who am I talking to this morning? That if it had not been for God on your side, you wouldn't be alive right now. But God spare your life for your life. He spared your life for his call on you. He didn't get sent to a pool that says blessing. He didn't get sent to a pool that says breakthrough. He didn't get sent to a pool that says abundance. He didn't get sent to a pool that meant more than enough. He got sent to a pool that said mission. He got sent to a pool that said find purpose, because the Lord is opening your eyes so you can see your purpose, so that when you see what you see, then you can see. And the man went and washed and came home seeing. He went to purpose, son, washed his face in purpose, and then went home with purpose dripping down his face and the ability to see. And if you want to see, what do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, I want you to see. If you want to see, then you better get some purpose on your face. Because there's a passage that we all love that says, all things. I said all things. I said all things. Romans 8, it's our favorite passage, all things. All things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. Anybody love him? Who love the Lord. Anybody love him? Who love God and are the called according to his purpose. All things work together. If you love God and are chasing his purpose, it's not just love God, son. It's what is his purpose? Why am I here? What did he put me on the planet to do? What shall I render unto God for his benefits towards me? Now that he spared me, what does he require? Hate to bust your bubble, but the Lord don't spare you just to spare you. The Lord has ulterior motives in sparing you. You are still alive because there is something he needs you to do. You have been sent to wash in a pool called purpose. Sent to wash in a pool called mission. Sent to wash in a pool that has to do with what's happening after you're gone. We must work the works of him who sent us while it's day. Night is coming when no one can work. If you heard a word from the Lord, can you put your hands together really quickly? Can I get you to give? That's just an awesome time to give right there. That's if you're sitting here thinking, oh, my Lord, that's right. Well, I got to get about my purpose, and I got to be about the purpose of God in my life, and I want to connect to purpose. All right, I got a way for you to do it this morning. You can give to the work of the kingdom of God. You can give to Victory Park. You can give to the vision that we have together. You can commit your way to the kingdom. Commit your life to the church. Don't just take what the church has to offer you. Give, and it shall be given unto you again. Can I get you to give? There's the app is right there. The QR code is right there. You can download the app and you can give to the work of the kingdom of God. And by doing that, you connect yourself to something greater than yourself. You connect yourself to something greater than just you. The enemy will never be able to attack you again and say to you, oh, you just want that just for you. You'll be able to say, well, no, certainly, I would like to live better, and I would like to have more, and I would like to live in a bigger house, and I would like to drive. That is true, but actually, I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm asking God to bless this business so that I can bless the kingdom. I'm asking God to bless me in this way because I want to be the called according to his purpose. I need a witness in the building. I need a witness around the world. I know I'm not the only one that says, well, I will live. I shall not die because God gonna use me. Oh, they're laying everybody off. Well, God must have a plan for me because God is using me for his purpose. And I'm a part of a ministry, and I live all the way in Alabama, but I'm a part of this ministry in North Carolina. I'm all the way in Australia, but I'm a part of this ministry called World Overcomers, and I'm sowing and I'm giving, and God's got to bless me. David said, if you let them slay me, then who's going to praise you? If you let them slay me, I believe David collected so much to build the temple. The Lord didn't let him build it, but he collected a lot to build the temple because the person who is forgiven much gives much. If you've been forgiven much, you don't need to be somebody that's like, hey, I'm just glad I'm there. I'll just be glad I'm here. No. The more you've been forgiven, the more you give. Can I get you to give to the work of the kingdom of God? We did the tithes already, but if you have not given your tithe, that's the tenth of your gross. That means if you make $1,000, you give God $100, and the Lord lets you live on the $900. By doing that, there's a confidence that you have that the Lord will keep your thousand coming, and what's more, that God will say, oh, wow, well, if you're going to give me a tenth, if you're going to give me a piece, then I might as well bless you more. There's a miracle that happens. The devourer is rebuked on your behalf. Why is that? Well, it's because you've decided to be called according to the vision, called according to his purpose. And you want the calling to be reflected in your giving. When you sit down at the end of the year to do your taxes, your accountant should say, what is this? Who is this? And you ought to say, well, you have to realize I'm saved. You have to realize I love the Lord. You have to realize that this is not just about me. Part of the reason why the Lord has blessed me supernaturally and multiplied me is because he can trust me. Not just that I trust him, but he can trust me. Can he trust you? 'Tis so sweet to trust him, but can he trust you? Can I get you to give? I'm going to ask you to do the best offering you can. This is above your tithes. The best offering that you absolutely can give. We are moving towards this park. We are on our way to breaking ground. We are on our way to it. And we need you to be generous. We need you to give. Literally around the world, we need you to give right now. The best offering you can. On a snow Sunday. You can't serve today. You can't hit the altar today. You can't wave your hand today, but you can give today. Right now, give to the work of the kingdom of God. So many ways for you to give when you download the app. You can give right now to his kingdom. Come on, let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this moment. We've been taking up this building for an offering at the end of every sermon because, Lord, it is an awesome way for us to respond. Our response is hallelujah. Our response is thank you, Jesus. Our response is you're my redeemer. Hallelujah. Our response is I want to be called according to the purpose. Lord, right now, as we give, we're bathing our face in the pool of purpose. This is our Siloam. World Overcomers is our Siloam. This streaming is our Siloam. This YouTube watching it is us. This us on Facebook, this is our Siloam. This is us bathing our eyesight in the pool of purpose. And have your way in us. And multiply the gift and the giver. Make millionaires out of us. That we might provide for your kingdom and your people. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. God bless you as you give. Thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you for your generosity and your faithfulness. And God has called us to do a work worthy of his name. I got that from my dad. A work worthy of his name. I want to do a work worthy of his name. And we are coming together, and you can do it right now. And if you want to be a member of this awesome church, it don't even matter where you live no more. You can just type in new member right now, just new member in the comment, believe me, somebody will contact you and they will spit life to you right away. Or you can always go to the website. The easiest thing to do is just go to PastorAndy.com and it'll just portal you straight on over to World Overcomers. There's a thing there for World Overcomers, but it's World Overcomers on WOCCOnline.Church is I think, is it .church? Is it .org? WOCCOnline.org is what I think it is. Anyway, World Overcomers, Raleigh, Durham, Air, North Carolina. You can give to the work of the kingdom of God, and you can join so easily. You can be a member. In New York, you can be a member. In Philly, you can be a member. Wherever you may be, you can join right now. Just type new member right in the comment. Somebody will tell you what to do. You can join with us. You can be a part of something bigger than yourself. You can be a part of the purpose of God. You start finding the purpose of God amongst the people of God. We want to help you to walk in His purpose for you. Let me pray for you one more time. God, thank you for this Sunday. We might have been snowed in, but we heard a word from you. There might have been a storm, but you're still Lord. Through the storm, you're Lord of all. Now, God, we pray that your anointing would rest on us. This offering, you're multiplying it. This vision, you're going to make it happen. And even the vision that we have beyond just this Victory Park, you're going to make it happen. This work that you've called us to do, the salvation, thank you for the miracle in that young man's life. Thank you for the miracle in that young woman's life. Thank you for the miracle of healing in my mama and my grandmama. Thank you for the miracle of healing in my body. Whose servants are saying to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not in our heart, but believe those things we say should come to pass. We have what we say. Thank you that I'm healed. Thank you that we're healed. Thank you that we're set free. Thank you for this anointing that we felt and sensed in this service and the word we heard. And bring us back Wednesday night. And bring us back next Sunday, God. As we talk more about what we see, when we see, then we can see and vision, and you are healing our sight, using us for your glory. Have your way in us. God, as we always pray, bless your people, cover your people around the world through storms and snow and sleet and through hurricanes and tornadoes and sickness and COVID and disease and lack and poverty. Lord, watch over us and protect us even from whoever is behind the scenes with a conspiracy against whoever. Lord, still be our God and we'll bless you. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we all said together, amen. God bless you. See you next time.